You've been listening to the SLMA Radio Hour, brought to you by our worldwide membership of sales lead management experts. If it has to do with sales lead generation or management, it starts here with the Sales Lead Management Association. For more information on our organization or to sign up for our free membership, just visit our website at theslma.com. That's theslma.com. Or call us at 714-637-6989. This show is produced by James Obermeyer, Executive Director of the SLMA, and Paul Roberts on behalf of the OC Talk Radio Network. You're listening to Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net. And we've got our anchor show of the afternoon coming up in just a second here, so stick with us. This is octalkradio.net.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy three with triple points on airfare. Buy two with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi, and I host this business talk show, which airs live on Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. here on the West Coast. If you're listening to this show at some point in the future as a podcast, maybe off of Apple iTunes, we are a business podcast on Apple iTunes, or one of our other podcasting services, thanks for taking the time to join us for the conversation that we're going to have on the radio program. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, to make better business decisions. And we do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives from around the country who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. To learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. Critical Mass Coast to Coast is brought to you through a partnership of Critical Mass for Business with Executive Forums business owners in select markets across the U.S. Executive Forums is an international organization committed to helping members take their businesses to the next level. My first book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, was the first book ever written about the peer group experience and is available for sale on Amazon.com. You can find it simply by typing in my name, Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. If you'd like to learn more about CEO peer groups, then I would suggest you check out our website, www.executiveforums.com. Today's guest is Douglas F. Carlberg. Douglas is president and CEO of M2 Global Technology Limited, and we're going to ask Douglas a range of questions during his time with us on the program. And we're also going to be exploring his expertise and understanding of manufacturing here in the United States. So, without any further ado, let's welcome Douglas to the radio program. Douglas, thank you for being on Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Well, Rick, thank you for having me. You can just call me Doug.
Okay. Well, Doug, it's good to have you on the program. Why don't we start by exploring a little bit more about your firm? Can you tell our audience what it is that M2 Global Technology does?
Well, we're kind of an interesting model. We've had to reinvent ourselves over the last 12 years. We started off as a company that does microwave subsystems and components for the commercial that go into satellites and point-to-point microwave and radar type systems. And then after 9/11, we elected to get into defense electronics. And so we're doing both today. And that did not quite get us to the growth curve that we wanted. And I had a background of being an aeronautical engineer, and I knew something about aviation parts. And right now we're doing aircraft parts for not only the commercial aviation, one of my divisions, but also we're a supplier to Bell Helicopter and Lockheed Martin and a number of the defense contractors.
So it sounds, at the very least, the company is much more diversified than it was, say, 12 years ago.
Yeah, definitely. And then what makes it very unique is we've taken a lot of the lean principles from the Toyota production system and applied it into our factory. And as a result, we actually have a mixed model. We're a high-mix, low-volume operation in both of our two product groups, but we're also running commercial and defense down the product lines and being successful at it.
Wow. That, for those in the audience, either listening today live or maybe at some future point on a podcast, to understand the difference between volume commercial manufacturing and job shop is probably too strong of a word, but low volume, high mix, military, aerospace, those are very different models to run in the same manufacturing.
It took us a while to get the formula right, but once we figured it out, it's working quite well. Matter of fact, we were the supplier 2 years ago, small businesses for Lockheed Martin, so they seem to be extremely pleased with us.
Well, I have to say congratulations, and I guess I'm just a little bit curious if you could distill it down to the essence of getting the model right. From your perspective as president and CEO, what are the keys to that?
Well, I mean, we started on this lean journey way before we actually created M2 Global. We used to be a division of Harris Corporation, and we were an early adapter of lean before lean was even popular. So we were doing a lot of what's part of the Toyota production system known today early on in our Harris days. And when we basically bought this product line from Harris, we had a start. And we just continue on the journey and continue to implement the skills, not only with the different tools you get on the Toyota production model, but also with people engagement. I mean, the real success on this thing is, you know, you can have all the plays in the world if you're a football team and have all the right equipment, but if you don't have the right players, you're never going to get there. So we spent a lot of time on developing our talent pool, and we continue to do that today.
Having been in the manufacturing world myself for years before leaving kind of corporate America, how was the change for your employees and your organization to go from a part of a very large corporation like Harris to then a standalone company? Maybe with some level of startup mentality in the leadership, but certainly more of a leveraged, I would imagine a little bit more of a leveraged business model given, you know, that you're taking it outside of Harris. How was that?
I think for them, it was the burning platform. You know, their cheese had been moved. Harris was going to either sell the product lines out or maybe retire them. So they realized that the team that I brought in to pick this piece of cheese up and move it didn't happen. They were going to be out on the street. So anytime you have a crisis, and that was the first crisis when Harris decided to diversify themselves of this particular product group. And the second one was 9/11. I mean, after 9/11, our sales basically dropped in half in less than 6 months. And the interesting thing about that was, a year later, when the market started coming back after that happened, a big chunk of the commercial stuff had all gone to Asia and stayed in Asia. So if we had not reinvented ourselves and decided to get into other markets, may they be aviation parts or defense, we may not be here today. So what I've done with all my employees, and I do it for every new one that we hire, is give them the book from basically Spencer Johnson on Who Moved My Cheese.
Mm. So you set the context right from the first day. Sounds like that.
Well, I mean, it's like getting a winning basketball team or a football team. You actually got to program that new player from the first day he walks into that school or walks into that production facility. It's his first impression. You have to set the bar, and you have to make sure that existing team members work with them, coach them, and we actually do. We assign team members to make sure that the associate understands what's expected of them and make sure they get trained properly before we put them out there on the street.
We're going to take our break now, and but when we come back, we're going to talk with Doug about a valuable business lesson that he learned that might have come through a difficult or challenging experience. So, Doug, be thinking about a great business lesson you learned, but it might have come through a painful experience, and we'll have a chance to talk about that when we return here to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. But first, here's a word from our sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. Doug Carlberg, President and CEO of M2 Technology Global Technology Limited, is our guest. So, Doug, can you think of a time when you learned a valuable lesson, but it came through a difficult or challenging experience?
Well, I think after 9/11, I think a lot of us went through that. I mean, it was a pretty major free fall. A lot of people got a lot of excess inventory. And as I indicated before, our sales dropped in half, and we had to resize and reinvent our company. What I realized back then, being a manufacturing guy like you are, I really loved being out there and doing the operational stuff. But what I realized was I could get other people to do that and coach them, and what I really missed was the voice of the customer. I had a sales team that were out there. Wasn't always getting exactly where the customer really wanted to go and was creating the relationship. So when I had to reduce the team, I had to let some of those people go. And as a result, I got back in the sales role and was out there listening to the customer, which really helped me cement where we needed to reinvent ourselves to go forward.
Are you still interfacing with the clients?
Major accounts? The answer is yes. So I've got a couple other associates right now that are helping me in the sales area. But the major accounts, the new ones we're chasing, I'm right leading the team right now. The other important thing I would think after 9/11, we had lost that year. And going in and really understanding your cost and understanding where you're getting the biggest return for your bucks on what little you've got in your checkbook is very critical. So really understanding your true cost, understanding where you're spending it and where you need to spend it. It's no different than running your house. And a lot of people don't realize that.
And it sounds obvious or simple to say what you said, understanding your costs. But in a mixed manufacturing environment where you have, you know, different SKUs, product lines, different volumes, workforce, machines. I mean, really getting an accurate understanding for what that part cost is, you know, burden costs, et cetera, going out the door can be challenging for a company.
Well, it is. And what I had to do is I had to rethink it and actually come up with a lot of additional cost centers to get the total cost around it. I also had to do some activity-based accounting.
Yes.
Along with that. So we had to revamp our costing system. I had to switch out, and I had that opportunity because at the time my accountant or my controller had to move out of the area. I went out and hired a guy that really knew cost accounting, and really that was his expertise versus just accounting. And bringing the right people, getting the right people on the bus, identifying what tools or things that had to be changed in your MRP or your accounting system makes a big difference. Now, the other thing we did, and part of that, is we rebuilt the model where before we were doing a lot of stuff for outside processing mm-hmm. to get the end product out the door. I put a plan to integrate us internally. So pretty much right now, if I get an order in hand, it doesn't have to go outside my four walls. I can do everything in the house except for some components I do have to buy from the outside.
That's a big improvement in the control that you have over the, you know, the quality as well as your ability to meet your schedules, isn't it, when you bring
that? Well, I'll give you on my electronic side of the business. When I'm selling or going out after a contract for my RF components, what I hear back from my customer base, GM2 Global, you know, we can get samples and a quote from you sooner than we can just get a quote from your competition. And what that allows you to do is you may not be the lowest supplier of that, but you're going to get on their bill of material. At least you're going to be a second source, and you're going to be in the game.
Right. Good idea. I look for teachable moments, and I think that was ring the bell on that one, Paul, the producer, because I think we had a lesson that people can learn that by being the most responsive may not guarantee that you get the business, but it does guarantee you mitigate their risks by being maybe a second source supplier. I love that. Thanks, Doug. Is there you're in the manufacturing game. You mentioned, you know, after 9/11, some manufacturing that was domestic was then moved offshore. What is your view for the likelihood or the future of manufacturing in the United States?
Well, I think this administration or this Congress needs to go back and really understand. I'm working an initiative right now. I'm on the board of directors for the Association of Manufacturing Excellence, and we're working an initiative with the National Manufacturing Association. It's called the Rebirth of Manufacturing. And if you can apply the lean principles of the Toyota production system, I mean, you've got the advantage of beating your competition. And with the cost of fuel going up, it's just, and if you're putting stuff in Asia, you've got it on Connex containers for 6 to 8 weeks before you get it here in the States. A matter of fact, I just lost the contract here a few years ago, and I just got it back last year. And the main reason I got it back was twofold. Though the parts they were buying were cheaper, they were having quality problems that they had to test them 100%. And on top of that, whoever got the bonus check for finding this cheaper source wasn't responsible for transportation. Their transportation cost for that year was over budget by $1 million because they were flying everything in. And this was bulky, heavy components.
Hmm. Yeah, you really need to look at the landed cost when you're looking at making a change to another supplier. And a lot of times organizations don't. They look at the purchase price and unit quantity.
The purchase price only, and they don't look at how many trips people from the from North America have to go over there to ensure that everything is right in Asia.
So you believe with the right application of technology and kind of state-of-the-art manufacturing techniques, there is a – and with kind of global macroeconomics in going on, you see the opportunity for rebirth of manufacturing in this country?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's not across the board.
Right.
But there are a number of stuff that is custom. And if you have a custom product or kind of a unique product and you can build it to order – and you can deliver it quicker, I mean, what you've done is, you know, time is money. You reduced your inventory from the time they place the order until they install it or they put it into their customer. And if you can improve the quality, people are going to be willing to pay a little bit more. Now, how much inventory do people write off every year because the market changes and they have obsolete or excess inventory? It's a phenomenal number.
Yeah, for a number of years, in addition to my manufacturing company, in addition to supplying military aerospace, commercial products, we also had automotive clients. And I don't know if you've ever had automotive clients as your clients, but that you talk about low inventory, that industry has figured out how to really manage their inventory down to the probably the smallest amount they really have to maintain to be able to continue production. I mean, it's an art form in the automotive industry.
It really is. I mean, and Toyota does it the best. Here in San Antonio, they've got 1,300 acres where they're doing the Tundra and the Tacoma truck, and they've got 21 of their suppliers right on campus, and they deliver as required right to the production line, and that's the perfect model.
Yeah, it's the perfect model, and from a supplier's perspective, you really have to have the ability to meet your commitments because there's no fat in the system. There's no slack. If I need it today, I need it today, you know, which is a very challenging model, but it's made to work, and using principles like Toyota Manufacturing System can really help companies to get control of the variability in their manufacturing process. Is there anything about you or your company that we didn't talk about today that you would like to share with the listening audience for Critical Mass Coast to Coast?
Well, you know, we're a service-disabled, veteran-owned company. I'm a retired military warrant officer, and I do preferred hiring for veterans, and I'd say probably 35% of my team are prior service people. They make great employees. I encourage people to hire them. They help me create a winning team. You know, we've got this can-do attitude. We've been very successful. We were the SBA Small Business of the Year for Region 6 this last year, and we just continue to gain market share and gain new customers. Success breeds success, and I'm very proud of what we've done and the team that I've got behind me.
Well, I'm glad that Peter Broiler brought you to our attention and suggested you as a guest here for Critical Mass Coast to Coast. It sounds like you're doing some interesting things both in San Antonio but also on a global scale. So I know you're a busy man, Doug, but I appreciate you taking the time to be on the radio program today. Thank you.
Yeah, if anybody wants any additional information, our website is www.m2global.com.
Thank you. I usually always ask the guest. You caught me on that one. I'm glad you didn't let you hang up without asking for that information, Doug.
You have a great day, Rick. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Critical Mass Coast to Coast, as I said, is brought to you through a partnership of Critical Mass for Business here in Southern California with select executive forums, business owners across the United States. The goal for the show is to bring online guests who have transferable knowledge, ideas, insights, and advice. I think from a manufacturing perspective, you would agree if you're a manufacturing company, listening to the brief conversation that I had with Doug today, gave you some insight and probably more conviction to look at the, you know, lean manufacturing, the Toyota manufacturing production system, and see if it's appropriate for your business. If you're looking to, you know, reduce costs and improve the performance of your company. Also, if you have the time, you may want to look at his website to learn more about his company if that's of interest to you. If you're listening to the show today and you know of a guest who might be an interesting guest for us to have on Critical Mass Coast to Coast or one of our other sister shows to Critical Mass Coast to Coast, Critical Mass, the radio show, which focused on interviewing CEOs and business owners largely in Southern California, or CEO, the coaching perspective, which is really focused on employee topics that are of interest to human resources, HR professionals, coaches, consultants, and the people who provide solutions to the human resources community. So if you know of radio show guests that would be interested, maybe published authors, speakers, or professionals in the industries, let us know. And the way to do that is by sending a message directly to me. And I am Rick Franzi, and I can be reached at rfranzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I, at criticalmass, M-A-S-S, forbusiness.com. If you're listening today and you're interested in CEO peer groups, something we hadn't had a chance to talk about, and I didn't think to ask Doug about that, but that is a part of the reason why we do the show, is we like to have these virtual peer groups where you learn from your peer executives. Check out Executive Forum's website, which again is www.executiveforums.com. So, until the next time we have a chance to speak, this is your host, Rick Franzi, saying I hope that all your decisions move your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass Coast to Coast, only on OCTalkRadio.net.